Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio on this Friday session of Abounding Grace. And I'm going to go to Mark chapter 10 today and look at this account of the rich young ruler and sort of contrast the evangelistic methods of our day with how Jesus dealt with somebody who wanted salvation. And this is very important mainly because, you know, we're so quick today to receive anyone and everyone who gives the slightest inclination to say yes to Jesus. And we've not really asked the question, do they understand what they need? Do they understand what faith is? Do they understand the basics of the Christian faith, that they're sinners, that they need a Savior, and that they in themselves don't have any kind of righteousness that God will accept? Most people coming to Christianity today don't even have the basic understanding and categories even to know what sin is. And where do we begin with people like this? Where do we go with it? Well, that's Mark chapter 10 and the account of the rich young ruler. Let me read this a little bit and we'll unpack it today. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." A remarkable scenario, isn't it? Here is Jesus walking along the road, and this man we know, who was a rich ruler among the Jews, comes running up to Jesus, and he's one of the most respectful men we come across in scriptures. He comes up, he kneels before Jesus, he bows the knee, and what does he say? "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, right in the question, we hear the problem. He thinks, just like most people think today, that one acquires salvation by just leading a good, moral, upstanding, righteous life. He has two verbs here, do and inherit. What do I need to do to get it, Jesus? You teach me. Now, it's interesting how Jesus begins. You know, how would we begin today? The first thing Jesus raises with this man is, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Now, Jesus is true God. But you see, he's reacting to the rich young ruler's perception of him. The perception of the rich young ruler of Jesus is that this man is just a good guy, a good teacher who can teach me, just like the Pharisees, how to be good enough to enter eternal life. And he doesn't get it. He has not heard Jesus's message. He doesn't understand the whole point of Jesus's message. He thinks that this is just a good, moral, upstanding teacher, as most people think about Jesus today, who teaches us how to validate ourselves by climbing our way to God. So Jesus confronts this. Who do you think you're speaking to? Who do you really think is good? It's only God. And what do you think God's standard is? That's where Jesus goes with this, doesn't he? You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Now, the first question we ask on something like this is, why, Jesus, are you using the law? I mean, isn't this the time to tell them about grace? Isn't this the time to tell them about gospel, what you're going to go to the cross and do and shedding your blood? Jesus doesn't begin there, does he? And that's a crucial point. Jesus begins with the law. And you can't read this without asking the question, why, Lord, are you using the law? What then was the purpose of the law? Why is the law so important in the Christian message today? Well, Jesus uses it because the law was given originally to expose sin. I would not have known covetousness, said the apostle, unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So what Jesus is doing is setting before him the standard, the high standard that God demands. This is not just a mere external keeping of the law. This goes right into the heart to test us as to where our loyalties are. And what the law exposes is all have fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the problem. When people have the law set before them, and I've seen this, people on their deathbeds, you talk to them, why are you going into heaven? Well, I've lived a good life. I've never murdered. I've paid my bills. And the list goes on and on. And they think that they're getting into heaven by their basic general morality. That's this guy. This guy answers Jesus when the law is set before him and says, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. I've done it. Now, what do you see here? Somebody dead in trespasses and sins. When someone's dead and they have no spiritual life, you know it by their denial of their own lives and their refusal to see things as the Lord has defined it. And as the Lord has defined it is that we are lawbreakers and we can't see. The general thought of the human heart is that it's good. I mean, we hear this all the time. Listen to your heart. This is the Joel Osteen message. You're a good person. You've accomplished a lot. You know, you just got to bring out the good in you. And what do we say? The Christian message is no, the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? This man doesn't see his sin. That's the point. So what does Jesus do? Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Do you see what Jesus just did? This man couldn't see his sin in general. And so what Jesus did is take him to the number one sin upon his heart of idolatry and his love for riches. And Jesus is using riches here as an illustration to show how difficult salvation is for people. It's not just that if one's rich, it's difficult. This is difficult for everyone. Everyone listening out there, you can't do it. Why? Because on your heart is some great sin that is mastering you. If you are truly honest with your life today, you're caught up in something. You're caught up in something that has mastered you for a long time, and you have not beat this, and this sin is raining on your heart, and you're saying, I want to be saved, and you're saying, tell me what to do. You think you're generally a good person, but Jesus comes along and he says, I see it right there. For this man, it was his riches. And Jesus tests him. You want to be saved? You want to be saved? Here's what you can do. Now remember, no man can do this. But this is the scenario. This is how Jesus is using the law. Here's what you can do. You can go get rid of that great big idol on your heart. And you can sell everything you have. If you do that, you'll demonstrate you've gotten rid of the idol. And then come back to me and we'll talk about salvation. At this, he walks away sad. And I think to myself, why did Jesus let this guy walk away sad? I mean, that's not what we do today in the church, is it? I mean, we receive anyone and everyone who has the slightest inclination to Christianity. Jesus lets them get away. And I'm thinking of his disciples. Lord, we're supposed to be fishers of men. You're letting this guy go. Jesus would not. Now listen, Jesus would not accept a moment's emotional crusade-like decision that did not understand how great the need was for salvation. And that's the issue that Jesus raises with the disciples. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. In other words, what he's saying is how hard it is for anyone to get saved when they've got another God on their heart. And everyone does. And the disciples were astonished at his words. If this guy can't be saved, this good, moral, upright leader in our society who's so respectful and so honorable and rich, the best we can think of, what are they thinking? Children, says Jesus, how hard it is for those who have riches, who trust in riches, there's the issue, to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying that salvation, if it's up to man, it is an utter impossibility. You see, that's the heart of the Christian message, isn't it? That no amount of works, no amount of efforts, no amount of good works can save you. Do we hear that message anymore? Nothing we do. We are so given over in our sins. We are so given over to idolatry. We are so blinded by the darkness of our hearts that we just don't have the ability to remove sin from the heart ourselves and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and keep his law. We don't have the ability. We just don't. His disciples were greatly astonished and they asked this great question, who then can be saved? That's a question of despair that everyone in their life at some point must ask when they look at their own life. My life is so far from the glory of God. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is departing from that, from the holy standard of God's perfect righteous law, which Jesus used here to expose that. We have so far missed that, that we have to come to this desperate point in our life at some time. Who can be saved? What do we need to do to be saved? And Jesus says here something so beautiful. With men, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. In other words, Jesus, as true God, came to make salvation a reality. He came to open up dead hearts. He came to pay for sin. He came to redeem and buy back those of his sheep who are in the darkness and to give them life, to give them a new birth, to give them a new heart. That they would not try to work by the works of the law to achieve their salvation, but that they would drop the knee in a different kind of way. Drop the knee in humble submission to the Lord, in true faith, embracing Christ at the word, who says, all who believe in me are justified, declared righteous, and are acquitted from their sins. This is the message of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days on Sundays. And lindenurc.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.